think Tevez going to Juventus, what a coup that was for me. I mean,
on a head-to-head battle, Atletico Madrid can do more damage to Barcelona than the other way around.
Either he's really blind, or he's fixing the match. I can't see it any other way.
I'm trying to get Sir Bob on my side here by saying City will win the Premier League.
It is an upset. You would expect Man United to go and win there.
Over $1 billion was paid in transfer fees between the clubs in Europe.
It's football. It's damn football. Like Ferguson said, football. Bloody marvellous.
Yeah, well, the celebration was, I can't believe I just scored against Mexico.
At one point, Parma, I think it's only like 224 players under contract.
Hey, they're going to throw me out of here, fellas. You're going to get me arrested on your show.
If you're a serious talent, you're going back and you're playing for Santos. You know, you're going back to play for, like in Argentina, for River Plate or Boca Juniors. Or you're going to Europe.
He looked like the Ryan Giggs of old. He was more creative than any player on the pitch. He made Mata look stupid. He made Rooney look silly.
Now, the Premier League is the most exciting league out there. I think it's probably the best marketed league without a question.
When you look at the draw for the Champions League, you kind of say, well, all the pieces kind of fell into place for everybody except City.
I am your host, Joe Uccello.
Sir Bob, Mike Orr. My co-host, Rob Rojas.
My trusted co-host, Ben the Machine.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 249 of Low Limit Football on this 29th of July, 2019, on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we find out that Patrice Evra has announced his retirement from football. We look back on the last couple of weeks of transfer rumors and try to figure out where the next big move will come from. We have a major announcement that we're going to make shortly right here on this show. And we open our league previews by looking at La Liga with special guest Ben Hayward from London Evening Standard, who will be joining us in just a few minutes. Let me bring my co-host in here, Mr. Roberto Rojas. Great time yesterday, man, at the Roma-Benfica match. I mean, the Milan-Benfica match, no?
No, it was a great time. Thank you so much for having me as well. I mean, it's been great to go at that game. You know, it was a great atmosphere. And obviously, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, man, just watching all these friendlies and, you know, after the international break and all those tournaments and now looking at all these clubs and look at all the changes that are being made. You know, you're really excited about this season coming up, because I think, with the exception of a few leagues, this might be a tight race to call for a lot of these leagues, which in a way is a good thing.
I agree. You know, you look at some of these teams that were just on the cusp, you know, and we're talking about multiple leagues here. And a lot of them have tried to go out and improve. You know, look no further than when we talk with Ben in a few minutes at Atleti. Atleti, you know, is actually there, even though they spent the money on Joao Felix, are actually positive for money made for this transfer window. So they went out, they've sold some pieces, they've brought in some big ones. Obviously, the Griezmann money versus the Joao Felix money, that kind of offset each other, but they've done quite a bit to improve themselves. And, you know, we'll talk about them in a few minutes. Kind of had it all on display in New York on Friday night, no?
Oh, absolutely. Went all guns blazing. I think for me, the little bit of a joke I was giving to a good friend of mine, a good friend of our show, actually, Ralph Hanna. Mm. You know, he's a big NFL fan. And I was telling him that, you know, this game is just basically like a preview for like the Giants and Jets fans that go to MetLife every week. This is basically a preview of what we're going to get in this coming fall.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just that, you know, we did it with footy rather than football, the American football, and certainly a great, great time. But we'll see. We'll see. And I know Ben's going to be on in just a couple of minutes. Rob, want to make the quick quote-unquote major announcement? We'll do trivia, and then we'll bring Ben on before we get into opening thoughts. So, Rob, you and I over the past couple of weeks have had a couple of discussions. I know there are going to be some changes to the show coming up for our listeners that they should probably know about. Probably the biggest one for us, Rob, is for the past almost 6 years, this show has been done as a live show. We've had a live server. We've logged on from the days when this started with Low Limit Poker Radio to present day with all its iterations with All In Sports, you know, Beyond the Pitch. This has always been done as a live show, and there is potential for that to continue. But right now, as you consume this show on a live basis, This will be the last show we will ever do live on this particular server. There is plans in the works right now to come back, and if it does, we will definitely let everybody know how to find us live. But tonight, this will be the last live show that you and I do. And obviously, moving forward, we'll still do our show on Monday nights. We will still release it, you know, to our website once it's done. We will tweet it on Tuesday mornings. We'll still follow all the procedures that we've been doing. It's just that you won't be able to consume the show live on this particular, you know, on the server on Monday nights live starting at 7 p.m. So, you know, Rob, what are your thoughts about going, you know, going to this point?
It seems as, you know, it's wonderful that we were able to get such an audience that has been able to, you know, listen to us and listen to us live as well. But I feel as if though in this coming, you know, this decade and with the new decade coming up, as I always say, I think it's time to, you know, try to revamp and to be more of what, you know, a podcast should be, you know? And that's pre-recorded, condensed, live, then straight to the point. You know, we're doing that with our slower shows in this sense. Mm-hmm. But no, I think this might be a good idea, and I'm confident that hopefully we can get some more listeners as well. Okay. In the future.
I agree. Let's do trivia. I know Ben is ready, so let's do trivia, and then we'll bring Ben on and we'll start talking La Liga.
Sure. So just a quick one for today. So obviously with the top five leagues starting in about a few weeks, I would say a couple of days in this sense, I'm going to give you a really simple one, but it could be a little bit hard as well. I want you to name me the team of all the team of the, so I'm going to be talking about the top five leagues. So I want you to name me the team of each of the five leagues who has the biggest stadium capacity. So I want you to give me five teams, one for each league, the team with the biggest stadium capacity.
Interesting. That's a great question. I think I know three, maybe two. I'm iffy on the third one. And
by the way, you're not going to get five answers, actually. You're going to get six answers.
Oh, because there's a tie, huh?
There's a tie.
That's interesting. All right. Do I get extra points if I give you the league that has the tie?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome, because I think I know which one that is. Okay, cool. So we'll give you that answer coming up at the end of the show. Let me get connected here with Ben. I'm gonna go ahead and add him into the show because very excited to talk to him, and I know we're just adding him live, but let's get him connected and we can start to break down La Liga, which is going to be a great one. You know, looking back last year, Barca won the league by 11 points. So now we venture to a new season. We've seen a lot of money spent, especially by Real Madrid. We talked about that Leti very briefly just a moment ago. But I want to welcome into the show from the London Evening Standard, Mr. Ben Hayward. Ben, thanks for coming back on the show. We were talking about the expenditures. Obviously, Barca have spent a little bit of money with Antoine Griezmann coming in. We've seen Real Madrid, you know, do their massive spend, bringing in player after player, and it seems like they're not done yet. Atleti move on Antoine Griezmann. They bring in Joao Felix. They're actually positive dollars when it comes to the overall expenditure of the transfer window, but it seems that they've done quite a nice job at improving. We saw it on display here in New York a few nights ago. What are your thoughts on the three teams that, you know, that really normally challenge for this La Liga title?
Yeah. Hi guys. Good to come on again. Thanks for having me. I think it's going to be a really interesting season. I don't see beyond, you know, those three for the top three. I think Barcelona's team, it hasn't changed too much over the last couple of years. All right, you know, Neymar left, Xavi went, Iniesta went, but you know, it's stayed pretty much the same over the last few years. And they've brought in, you mentioned Griezmann, who I think, by the way, apart from the, you know, doubts about Griezmann from the fans, from the way he, you know, rejected them last year and then this year decided to come, I think Griezmann's going to be great for Barcelona. I think he'll fit in really, really well. I think he gives them good options tactically. I think he can play in any of the front three positions. I think he's going to work defensively. I just think, you know, he's going to ultimately be a good signing. And De Jong as well, you know, we forget about, because that signing was made back in January. But De Jong coming in, I think, you know, Frankie De Jong is probably the most exciting midfielder in Europe right now, young midfielder in Europe. So, I think Barcelona will take some stopping this season. And, you know, also because, as you mentioned, both Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid are, you know, in the middle of a rebuilding process this summer. And, all right, it was only a friendly a few nights ago. But I think we saw which of the two teams is looking better at the moment. I see, I see some problems with Real Madrid. I think they had a flurry of signings, obviously, at the beginning of June. They brought in Hazard, who I think is going to be very good for them. Mendy, Jovic, and, you know, good signings. But is the team at the moment, as things stand, going to be that different to what it was last year? You know, I have my doubts. So the midfield at the moment is the same. Zidane wants to bring in Paul Pogba, but that's going to be a very, very difficult one to push through. And I just wonder about them, whether they've done enough. And then you look at Atleti and you think, well, that is a proper rebuild. Obviously, it's conditioned somewhat by all the players that have left the club. Not just Griezmann, obviously, but, Godin. All the way through the team, they've had players leaving the club, Felipe Luis, Juan Fran. They've literally had to go out and buy all these, a lot of new players, but they haven't been messing about. And, you know, boom, 120 million euros they got for Griezmann, and they went and they spent it all on one player, which was a big risk, I think. But from what I've seen from João Félix, the little that I saw of him in Portugal, playing over there for Benfica, he looked like a very exciting player. And I think he already has, fit in really well. And I was really impressed with him, not just in the game against Real Madrid, but previously I watched the game against Numancia. I thought it was really good in that until he went off. And I think, Atleti this season mean business, definitely. I think as things stand, I would have Barcelona as big favourites, then Atletico. And I think, honestly, we could even see Real Madrid finishing in third place again this season.
Very interesting. I want to go back to João Félix, because I know when we watched the match here in New York on Friday night, he was one of the absolute stars of the show and just an incredible performance for him. Do you feel, from what you've seen of João Félix, not only what you saw on Friday, but also what you've seen of him from the Portuguese League and any other matches you may have seen of him, is that going to be the João Félix we're going to get? Because if that is, I've got to say that Atleti fans are in for a massive, massive treat for years to come.
I think they're in for a big treat. And I think, you know, he's 19 years old. Obviously, he's followed in the footsteps of Griezmann. He's got that number 7 shirt. And it was very pointedly mentioned to him in his presentation that, you know, it's a shirt that demands loyalty. And, you know, which was basically saying, you better stay a long time with us. They've put a lot of their faith into him. But I think, it's amazing, you know, how quickly he seems to be adapting to that team. And, very exciting player. His movement off the ball is fantastic, and he was causing Real Madrid all sorts of problems, as we saw, you know, the other night in the derby in New Jersey. So, I think this season we're going to see a slight change of style with Atletico. I know that, Simeone has his way of playing, but I think perhaps he's also conditioned a little bit by the players that he has, and I think he has a very exciting group of players this season. And if he starts the season with Costa and Morata in attack and João Félix behind them, that's very, very exciting. I'm looking forward very much to seeing that. I think then they're going to score more goals. I think defensively they'll be good, even though they've lost Godin. Godin perhaps was on the way down a little bit as well. I think it's very exciting times for Atletico. And I think João Félix, he's fitting in really, really quickly. And I think he's going to be great.
So just looking at also another player that seems to be on the radar for a lot of teams, and even one that just happened a couple hours ago where his move was so-called. This is a player that is obviously not in Zidane's system, not in the long term for Real Madrid as a whole, and you know, to get his offer rejected from China, you know, where he's going to make £1 million a week. I mean, so what is next for Gareth Bale? You know, because he's 30, and you know, the fact that the, you know, Real Madrid are looking for a team that is able to get his wages, or at least similar wages as well. I mean, what do you think is going to happen to Gareth Bale heading into this season? You know, will he sit and on the bench? I mean, will Zidane want him to sit on the bench, or will he actually be on the move to another team?
It's really, really an interesting situation with Gareth Bale. And, you know, I think part of it is the fact that, you know, Bale has 3 years left on his contract. So, you know, that's takes him up until 2022. He's already 30, as you mentioned. He's injury prone. He's on very, very high wages. And of course, Real Madrid don't want to let him go for free. That's part of this whole issue. If they let him go for free, he'd probably be gone already by now. But they want to get some money in, to put that towards Pogba or towards another signing. And, you know, that's understandable. They're not willing to lose a player who remains, you know, I suppose, along with Hazard now, their record signing, €100 million they paid for him 6 years ago to Tottenham. They don't want to lose him for free. But, you know, if you look at modern football now, look at his wages, the fee. There aren't many clubs out there who can pay that kind of money. And, you know, Bale's a risk. As I say, he's 30, so he doesn't really have any resale value. If you buy him now, you might get 3 or 4 good seasons out of him, but you're not really going to be able to sell him on. Ronaldo, obviously, a bit of an exception in that respect, you know, that Real Madrid sold him last summer at 33 for €100 million. But Ronaldo is an exception. He's, you know, kept himself super fit. He's hardly ever injured. And, you know, he's still doing the business. But Bale, he's a big risk financially for any club around Europe. So if you're a team like, you know, Manchester United have been very, very interested in Gareth Bale the last few seasons, the last few summers. This summer, let's be honest, Manchester United are in need of some quality players, but they're not. I feel they've been burnt a little bit by the Alexis experience, and they're not willing to pay top money for a player who could, you know, it could go wrong. He spends a lot of time out injured, and he's, you know, he's not that young anymore. So yeah, there's not many clubs around Europe with that kind of money. And the clubs that do have that kind of money are looking to younger players and players who are going to be probably a little bit more reliable. And I suppose that's why the best option for Bale ultimately was to go to China. I do think there's a lot of clubs that would love to have him, but I just feel that they don't want to spend that kind of money.
You know, it's actually interesting to see that kind of, you know, rejection, because we were talking about this with Joe, you know, the fact that, you know, there were people saying, you know, is it more of Bale's family rejected the move, or do you think it's more of Real rejecting it? And, you know, when you say that there's not a lot of teams that could afford his wages, is there a sense that, you know, as kind of a last minute thing, that, you know, Real Madrid would have to, you know, forcibly sell him onto a free? You know, is that possibly still likely?
Well, he doesn't have to go, does he? That's the thing, you know, Roberto. He is under contract for 3 more years. Even if they want to sell him, he doesn't have to accept that offer unless someone pays his release clause. And I don't know what his release clause is, but it obviously is ridiculously high and no one's going to pay it. So we'll see. You know, if it's a good financial offer for him, you know, maybe he'd be tempted, say, to go back to Tottenham. But there's no way they're going to pay the kind of wages that he would be expecting to earn. So there's a lot of people here in Madrid, you know, bad-mouthing Bale's agent, Jonathan Barnett, because, you know, he can't find another club for Bale. But, you know, in a way, Real Madrid have got themselves into this situation, okay, because they can't have it both ways. They want loyalty from their players. They gave him a long-term contract so that he'd stay. And now, because of that contract, they're not able to shift him off their books. So, it's a delicate situation. And I think at this point, the most likely scenario is that Gareth Bale ends up staying at Real Madrid. Of course, we know that Bale and Zidane pretty much don't have a relationship anymore. Even after the Champions League final, when Bale scored that wonderful overhead kick, I don't think Zidane barely spoke to Bale even after that match. He wanted to sell him that summer. Obviously, Zidane ended up leaving. Bale stayed. He left him out at the end of last season, froze him out of the team, didn't bring him on in the last game of the Bernabeu, which was supposed to be his goodbye. And, you know, the relationship is pretty much dead. But, you know, what do you do if you're Zidane and you start the season and Bale's at the club? You have to think that, you know, you look at a way to make it work, because he's too good to be, you know, playing in the reserves or sitting on the bench every week. If a fully fit Gareth Bale, for me, still starts in this Real Madrid team. I don't think they've improved the squad enough. You know, we'll have to see with Rodrigo how he does. Vinicius is exciting, but he remains very, very raw. Doesn't really score goals at the moment, needs to vastly improve on his shooting. For me, if Gareth Bale stays, he's an asset. Zidane has to sit down with him and say, look, okay, this is not ideal, but here we are. Let's make it work. I don't know if that's going to happen. Zidane's very stubborn. We'll have to see what happens.
Absolutely. So just kind of my last question before I give it to Joe. I mean, you know, we talked a lot about Real. We're talking about a lot of that thing. We're talking about Barcelona. But let's talk about some other teams that, you know, are kind of into that discussion that, you know, maybe aren't going to fight for that La Liga title, but certainly going to be in discussion to fight for those European spots. And I'm talking about teams like Sevilla, who have done a lot of good business, Valencia, who just got Maxi Gomez, if I remember correctly, Real Betis, who got out of nowhere, it seems, Nabil Fekir from Lyon. I mean, it's been an incredible kind of spending from these type of teams that, you know, obviously are not the big powerhouses as the three we've mentioned, but, you know, still teams that could definitely cause some trouble. So, you know, what do you think are some of the storylines to watch out, not just of these teams that I mentioned, but overall in La Liga? What's one thing that, you know, fans should definitely be watching out for in this season?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to watch out for. I mean, La Liga is great, isn't it? We had a great season last year, and I think we're in for another exciting one this year. And, you know, some of the teams you mentioned, Valencia now, that's an interesting one because, you know, Valencia have just got themselves in a position where they've got to the Champions League for two seasons in a row, back-to-back, you know, fourth place finishes. They won the Copa del Rey. Everything's great. They brought in Cillessen. They brought in Maxi Gomez, as you said. You know, good signings. And then suddenly, bombshell over the last day or two, the owner, Peter Lim, and the sporting director, Mateo Alemán, are at loggerheads. And it looks like Mateo, who was, you know, fundamental in, you know, bringing Marcelino to the club, and also sticking with Marcelino last year when, you know, Valencia, halfway through the season, now I think they were down in 11th place at one point. They kept drawing and drawing and drawing, if you remember, and they had very few wins. And then, you know, they had that amazing second half of the season, and they crept into the Champions League, and then they won the Copa, and it was just incredible. But all of that was because Mateo said, no, we're sticking with Marcelino. He's the guy. You know, he's doing a great job. And he could see behind the scenes that everything was working. And it looks like Mateo could end up leaving the club. They're going to have a meeting now tomorrow at Valencia. But if that happens, then it's really bad news because it may mean that Marcelino leaves as well. And just before the start of the season, that is absolutely the last thing you want. So even though, you know, Valencia have a very good team, which you would think will be competitive, if that happens on the eve of the season, it's very bad news for them. So that's one to watch out for. Sevilla, as you mentioned, yeah, they've done a load of business this summer. It's a typical Monchi summer. They've brought in, I think, 10 or 11 players in total. And some of them are exciting. I think Luc de Jong, Lucas Ocampos, Oliver Torres, I think exciting signings. And of course, with Lopetegui in charge, didn't go well for him at Real Madrid, but he's a coach that likes to play attractive football. So I think, you know, potentially Sevilla this season, I think it's going to take a while for them to gel with a new coach and all those new players. But I think it's going to be an exciting season, definitely, for them. And Betis also, who you mentioned, coaching change there, obviously, with Ruby coming in from Espanyol. And you know, I think Ruby is a good coach. I think he'll do well. Fekir, you mentioned, yeah, you know, that's incredible, isn't it, that they've managed to buy a player like Fekir, who last season was on the verge, of course, of joining Liverpool, and this season he's signed for Betis. So very excited to see him in La Liga. Of course, there is a but to that as well, and they've been able to sign Fekir because Lo Celso is probably on the way out. Very strongly linked with Tottenham, so we'll have to see if that one happens. And they might lose Junior Firpo as well to Barcelona, but let's hope he stays, because he's another very exciting player. I think Betis are going to have a strong season. Getafe, I think, obviously they were so close last season to the Champions League, didn't make it in the end, but they're in the Europa League. I think they'll have another strong season. This squad perhaps a little bit short to get Champions League, but yeah, another one to watch out for. And I think Real Sociedad will do well, actually. Obviously, they've got Martin Odegaard they've brought in, who I think will be a good signing for them. They've got Porto, who they signed from Girona, and Alexander Isak, a young Swedish forward, who is definitely one to watch out for.
Yeah, actually, Isak came over with quite a bit of promise from Borussia Dortmund, and it never really panned out for him. So it'll be interesting if he can turn it around at Sociedad. I do want to focus on one more player. I want to go back to Real Madrid a little bit, because I know we've kind of dabbled around it. We've talked about Gareth Bale extensively. We briefly mentioned Paul Pogba and how Zidane wants to bring him in. But it's pretty well known that Real Madrid have kind of spent a serious amount of money, and to balance the books and make things work to bring Pogba in, they're going to have to sell a piece. Now, many felt that was Gareth Bale, but you know, many also lopped in James Rodriguez into that mix as a potential target to sell to fund the Bale move. But obviously, Marco Asensio going down with the ACL injury, which is going to basically cost him the entire season, really put a damper on all of those plans. So, looking back, do you feel that James and Bale stay, and are they still able to bring in Paul Pogba, or is Real Madrid, with this Asensio injury, really kind of had to, you know, put the clamps on the spending moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things, Joe. I think Asensio's injury definitely makes them think, because Asensio, it's such a shame as well. I mean, obviously, not just because he was in visibly in so much pain, wasn't he, when he went down injured and just in agony, and that's so horrible to see. But you know, in the minutes leading up to his injury, you know, that's the best we've seen from Marco Asensio in a long, long time. You know, last season was very difficult for, you know, let's be honest, most players at Real Madrid, and Asensio was one of them. He really struggled last season. He wasn't at his best at all. But I thought in that game against Arsenal prior to his injury, I think he was fantastic. Obviously, he was key in the goal that Gareth Bale scored. Then he equalised. He had that amazing shot that hit the post as well. And then he goes in and gets that injury. It's terrible luck for him. So, yeah, a couple of things. I mean, Asensio was a player who probably wasn't going to leave Real Madrid, but it was a sale they hadn't totally ruled out, because he's a young player and they had interest in him. They had offers, and he was a player who could have potentially brought money in had they sold him. Obviously, he gets injured. Not only does he stay, but it means that, as you say, James Rodriguez is going to stay as well. He was back in training today with Real Madrid, and because the biggest interest in James, well, two clubs are really interested in him, Napoli, but also Atletico. But there's no way that Real Madrid were going to sell James Rodriguez to Atletico after what happened in the derby on Friday. So I think the Asensio injury plus what happened in the derby means that James Rodriguez is definitely staying at Real Madrid. And I think, you know, he can be an asset. But then again, you know, it's the problems with Zidane. Zidane will probably have to work with James and also with Bale, two players who, you know, had difficulties with the coach, you know, in their time at Real Madrid. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And, you know, rightly so, as you mentioned also, it means that where's the money going to come from? You know, unless they can, you know, they get a big offer for, say, Isco, that they would consider, I know, but there doesn't seem to be much on the table at the moment. Lucas Vazquez, but I don't think he would bring in that much money. It's going to be difficult for them to find the funds to sign Paul Pogba. And, of course, Manchester United don't need to sell, and they don't want to sell either.
Right, exactly. So it was just amazing, though, how they were freely spending money all over the place, and all of a sudden an injury like this kind of really puts the clamps on and makes everybody rethink about what they're about to do. So let's I'm going to wrap up with a few questions. First off, I want to start at the bottom of the table. We welcome three quote-unquote newcomers to La Liga this this season in Osasuna and Granada, who are 2 years removed from the league, and Mallorca, who's 6 years removed from the league. Of these three teams, Ben, do you feel that any or all of them have staying power to be able to remain in La Liga longer than one season?
It's difficult, isn't it? I think it's that first season. If you can stay up for that first season, then I always think that then you've got a great chance of establishing yourself. That first season is tough, but if you look at teams like you know, like Eibar, you know, nobody really expected them to have much of a run in La Liga. Alaves as well. But they've done really, really well. Last season, Valladolid came up via the playoffs and stayed up. So, you know, that gives hope to Mallorca. They came up, of course, in the playoffs this time. Mm-hmm. Osasuna won the won Segunda by quite a margin. It's good to see them back. And it's good to see Granada back. I think it's three interesting teams. One from the north, one from the south, and one from the islands. So it's going to be interesting. I think, obviously, if you look at the signings they made, obviously Granada have signed Roberto Soldado, who's you know, got bags of experience in La Liga, and you know, a team coming up like that, goals are so important. So he could be a good signing for them. Interested to see how that one works out. And of course, Chimi Avila, who was at Huesca last season, was a very popular player there. I think he's a good player, and I think he'll do well at Osasuna. And they've signed Brasanac as well from Betis. I think, you know, possibly Osasuna and Granada more of a chance than Mallorca, but you know, they can surprise us. As I say, you know, Valladolid came up by the playoffs and did really, really well. And they were, particularly in the first half of the season, they were up there, you know, like in the top six or seven for a while. Obviously, they ended up struggling, but did really, really well. So, yeah, I think they all have a decent chance. And, you know, the key to me, as I say, staying up that first season, then, you know, maybe they can go on and establish themselves and have a good run. Obviously, Osasuna spent lots and lots of years consecutively in La Liga, and even got to the Champions League at one point when Javier Aguirre was coach, amazingly.
Wow. Okay. You know, I want to give you a couple of quick rapid-fire questions here. First off, who's your champion in La Liga this year? Who's your predicted champion?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I know it's a little bit boring, but I'm going to say Barcelona. I can't see beyond Barcelona. But I will say that, you know, Barcelona's end to last season was not great. Obviously, they had La Liga wrapped up for a while. They were only three games from a treble, let's not forget. And then things went wrong, of course, in the Champions League with that defeat to Liverpool. And losing the Copa del Rey final to Barcelona. Sometimes these things can, you know, can play on a team going into a new season. And if there is any decline, then that might give hope to Atletico. But I just see Barcelona, as I said earlier on in our chat, you know, they're the strongest squad, and they've strengthened as well with Griezmann and De Jong. So yeah, they're the big favorites for me, the team to beat.
I agree with you for sure. Who's going to be the top goal scorer? And before you answer that question, I know everyone wants to just say Messi, but I go back to what I saw with Joao Felix, you know, so far in this preseason, and I've almost got to think that there might be a possibility that Diego Costa could be that guy that surpasses Messi and wins the La Liga scoring title. Who do you feel is going to be the winner of that title?
Messi.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's almost more boring to pick Messi to win the goal scoring title than it is to pick Barcelona to win the league. But I just felt like there was, you know, there's been no foil for Messi since Ronaldo left and went to Juventus. I feel like there could be a potential foil. I don't know if it will take long enough, but that Joao Felix was fantastic. And I think we're neglecting to remember that Eden Hazard was brought over to Real Madrid, and we know what kind of player Eden Hazard could be. So I feel like there are pieces that might be able to challenge Messi for that title, but you still feel Messi, no doubt about it. I mean, he led the league in goals by quite the margin. He was even in assists at the end of last season as well, the top assist man as well. So
the whole continent as well. Yeah, if you remember?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I know it's hard to pick against him, but and I think I agree with you that Messi will win the goal scoring title. But if you had to pick somebody that might be there to challenge him, who do you think that would be?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying about Hazard. I don't think he scores. He's not perhaps prolific enough to maybe to challenge for the top goal scorer. And the thing with Costa, of course, is staying fit. You know, obviously 4 goals against Real Madrid the other day in that kind of form. Yeah, I mean, he has the ability. He has the potential. Obviously, Atletico aren't a team usually who score that many goals per game. And I mean, it is preseason. You know, that Atletico are built on a strong defense. As I said earlier, I think we're going to see a bit of a different Atletico this season, but I don't think they're going to be, you know, hitting in 5 or 6 goals every week. Whereas, you know, Barcelona do that, so you know, regularly, and I think that's why it's difficult to see beyond Messi. I do think, you know, Griezmann, look at what he did at Atletico, 1-2, his record at, like I say, well, first of all, how he's going to fit in, of course. But secondly, you know, I think he can score a lot of goals at Barcelona. But yeah, difficult to see beyond Messi, to be honest.
I agree. Last question. With Barca, Atleti, Real Madrid, and Valencia, all 4 teams representing La Liga in the Champions League this year, do you feel that the Champions League winner will come from Spain and take back that title that England took this past season?
Difficult one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spain dominated, didn't they, for so many years in a row. And then last year, obviously, we had the all-English final. I think Liverpool are going to be really strong again, and I think City will be strong again. And you know, maybe Tottenham as well, maybe Chelsea, who are back in it. But in terms of La Liga, I just don't see it for Real Madrid. I just think it's going to be a difficult season for them at the moment. They've got so much to sort out, and of course, the Champions League is their thing. But you know, Ronaldo is not there anymore, and I feel they have a lot of problems right now. If they're not able to bring in Pogba or a midfielder, I mean, to me the midfield looks just very static. So. I see Barcelona and Atletico as having a good chance. I see Juventus as well having a strong season. Obviously, Ronaldo always gives you a chance, and they've got De Ligt as well. I think it'd be a great signing for them. So, yeah, I think we might see, you know, a couple of seasons now where it's difficult for the Spanish teams to win it, or they're going to have more competition, shall we say, from the Premier League. And from Juventus as well.
Agreed. Ben, I want to thank you for coming on the show and joining us tonight and helping us break down or look ahead to La Liga season. It's always a pleasure, and we look forward to having you again very, very soon.
You're very welcome, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
And that was Ben Hayward from the London Evening Standard. Great to catch up with him and talk about La Liga. Rob, I think we echo kind of what he said. You know, I think you and I would both pick Barca to win the title again. I think Real Madrid may put on a late charge. And the only reason I think that is because I think the moves that they've made have been really, really good. And they've addressed a lot of issues that Real Madrid do have. The issue is going to be incorporating them into the system and getting them to play together, learn to play together, I think is the hardest thing. When you change that many pieces, it's hard to get that team chemistry back very, very quickly. But I think Zidane will be able to do that. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time. So you'll see a charge from Real Madrid. But I think at that point, they'll probably be too far gone in the season. I think Atleti's dangerous. Atleti, with the moves that they've made, have folded in an offensive piece to a team that is traditionally defensive. I think a guy like Trippier on the wing is a great addition. I think it's going to be kind of quiet compared to the Joao Felix move, but I think it's a big move, and I think it adds some offensive firepower to Atleti, something that you don't really expect out of a Simeone side. So I think Atleti will definitely be challenging there. I think they will finish second, but I think it's Barca's, for me. And like we said, Messi leading the continent, I wouldn't necessarily put that past him again. He's Messi, so we can easily see that happen. But not that it'll go true to form, and La Liga for itself and for its style of play is always very exciting to watch. And I know we're very vanilla with our selections here with champions and goal scorers and everything, but still going to be something that needs to keep an eye on, don't you think?
For sure. It's going to be a really interesting race, and maybe there are some surprises to look out for.
Yeah, I would agree, no doubt about it. So let's talk about some transfers. Actually, you know what? Before we talk some transfers, let's do our opening thoughts quickly, Rob. And it was looking back on that 7-3 defeat that Real Madrid suffered at to the hands of Atletico Madrid at Giants Stadium or at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Four goals from Diego Costa, red card for Diego Costa as well. But this match was so one-sided, especially in the first half, that I felt more concerned. I mean, obviously, like we just said, very excited about the offensive firepower that Atleti displayed. But I would say for me, as a Real Madrid fan, I'm concerned. I'm concerned with the way this team looked. And I know everyone expects Zidane to be the savior, but you know, maybe this project the second time around isn't going to come together as quickly as previously anticipated. What were your thoughts on the match that night, and what does it say for both teams?
No, I think it's going to be hard for Real Madrid to try to get back from there. Yes, it was a friendly, but you know, when you're playing against your big rivals or one of your big rivals, all hands on deck, everything goes, you know. It does seem concerning, and it's even going to be more concerning considering the fact that there are a lot of injuries on this team as well. So I feel as if, though, there are a lot of things to change with this team. What will happen, we don't know. We don't know if Real Madrid are done spending or selling at this case, but it's going to be an interesting season for them. I generally think that Zidane needs to figure out a system that works, a game plan that definitely works to try to fit all those players in and go from there, because, you know, Atleti are flourishing with Simeone and their players. Barca obviously creeping up as always. So Real Madrid really need to think fast and try to find I think they need to try to find that leader, because, you know, Ronaldo was kind of that leader for many years that led them to that kind of success. And, you know, as great Sergio Ramos is as the captain, are you reluctant to trust him, given the fact that he's always been a character on and off the pitch from a controversial perspective? It's tough, but that's just how I feel about Real Madrid at this point.
I agree with you. So looking forward, I mean, I think, like I said, we got a little bit of a taste of what we're going to see in La Liga between those two sides, but certainly it's going to be Barca's championship. And I think Real Madrid, like I'd said, you know, a few minutes ago, going to see them finally kick into gear, and I do think it does come together. The team is too talented not to, but it's going to take some time to blend the chemistry of those two sides. And I think the lack of chemistry in this side, because everybody being so new, combined with what Atleti was trying to do in that new fold, they're incorporating less pieces, but they have, you know, skilled players. I think was what was on demonstration for us on Friday night. And you know, you take a little bit of it and throw it out the window, but at the same time, like I said, concerning getting those teams to kind of, or those players to be on the same page, you know, moving forward. So
sure.
Let's look at some transfer news. You know, and we kind of touched upon it a little bit. Let's start with James Rodriguez real quick, Rob, because I know we will just glance over it. Obviously the move to either Atleti or Napoli has been all but squashed at this point. The injury to Asensio is really the key here in terms of, Real Madrid not wanting to sell James Rodriguez at this point. He's going to be one of those replacement pieces. You can even lump in the Bale thing, but I think it's really put the lockdown on Real Madrid here for the rest of the transfer window, and I don't think we're going to see another big move out of them because the pieces that they wanted to sell are going to be the pieces that they're going to need to hold on to now because of the injuries. I mean, what are your thoughts of James? Let's be honest, dude. He was never going to Atleti. I mean, I don't think Real Madrid would ever wanted to sell him to Atleti. I think if he was going anywhere, it was pretty much Napoli or bust. But at this point with the injury, I think that's all moot. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think looking at all the injuries that are happening, you're going to have to try to get your pieces together, kind of similar to what's going on with Bale at this point. But I think that's how it works, honestly. I think for James, as much as, you know, he's been kind of underappreciated at Real Madrid at this point, he's going to need them. They're going to definitely need them, and I think that's the only thing you can really ask for out of them at this point.
I agree. So having said that, let's look at Paul Pogba real quick. Obviously, reports with Paul Pogba were that he was going to possibly be going to Real Madrid. The hints were that there was going to be some type of deal between Madrid and Manchester United. You know that the folks at United are not quite as happy with Paul Pogba. They think maybe he's underachieved or underperformed. So now with that done, do we feel that he's got another place to go? Is there another team? I mean, I know Juve has been mentioned, and I know that Juve has been mentioned with Dybala, which we'll get to Dybala in a moment. But do you feel that at this point he's going to go, or do you feel that he's going to just stay right where he is at United?
No, I think he's going to stay. I think also when you're looking at the reluctance that Real Madrid are trying to have with their injuries as well, as much as they have already spent so much, they're not going to sell as many as well. That's that's the thing as well. So I think Pogba's going to stay at Manchester United. As much as they already got the news of them trying to get Bruno Fernandes as well, I as much as that might seem as the replacement for him, I don't see him leaving. I think that at the right, if it were to happen, it should happen months ago, but not in this case. No, when these situations are happening, not going
to
happen.
I agree. I think when you're starting to get into some of these players that we're talking about now, like the Paul Pogbas, even to an extent, you know, James Rodriguez, Gareth Bale is certainly one of them, and the next one that we're going to talk about is Paulo Dybala. You start to get into the nosebleeds of dollar amounts, right, or of money, and you start to limit the teams that are going to be able to purchase these players. So I think what we're looking at is that there's a lack of landing spots, and Madrid is always going to be a landing spot for any of the monster names, whether we're talking Neymar, whether we're talking Pogba. Obviously, Eden Hazard did land there, but you know, to have a team that's, you've got to have a team that's capable of financing the move. And I think when you take a big team like Real Madrid off of the table, then you tend to lose the landing spots for a lot of these big players. So I think in the end, we'll ultimately see a bunch of these high players or these big players move. I think we'll see less of it this summer. I think we might be all but done with it. But I think that's going to be the issue and why you won't see a move. Now, Dybala is another one. Obviously, the rumor is, or the word is, that he wants to stay at Juventus. The word is also that he's going to be cutting his vacation early. Obviously, he was on international duty with Argentina in the Copa America, which allowed him to extend his vacation. He's going to be cutting that early to come back to Juve so that he can start to learn Saudi's system and be incorporated. Saudi's had also nothing but good things to say about him. But at the same time, you know, there's been talk about him moving to United. There's been talk about him moving to United for Lukaku, which we'll talk about in a second. But I don't know. I mean, I think at the same time, Dybala is a massive piece. I think he's a guy that's $100 million on the market when you look at players of this caliber. Which is scary because I feel like there are times when I look at Juventus, there's no place for him to play on the pitch, which is really weird for when we're talking about a player of this caliber. So, you know, do you feel that there will be some type of move to, you know, to United, whether it be in some type of exchange for Lukaku, which is the chat lately, or do you feel that he's going to be staying at Juventus as well?
No, I think he's going to be staying at Juventus as well. I think because of him demonstrating that dedication to go back and to prove that, you know, he could definitely work in a system in Sarri, and even if he is going to be out displayed by Cristiano Ronaldo, I personally think that he's going to be someone to really look out for this season, as someone who's trying to get kind of a redemption in a way after what happened last season. So, yeah, I think he's out there to redeem himself. Not exactly call for revenge, but definitely to redeem himself in that sense.
So, you know, just looking at my Twitter real quick, Adriano Del Monte, who is usually pretty reliable about a lot of this transfer rumor information, just tweeted just before we went on the air that Juventus would entertain a Lukaku plus 20 million euro move from United for Paulo Dybala. So there was talk about, you know, a player and money going one way and another player going the other way. And many were speculating that it was going to be Dybala and money going to United, but it's really not the case. If it happens, it's actually Lukaku and money going to Juve for Dybala. So we'll have to see there. That one might still have legs, but I think, you know, there's been a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I'm going to incorporate Lukaku into this chat now because there's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, I think, with Lukaku. You and I have talked about this before, where this has been more of a ploy to get Inter into the mix to finally up their amount so that they will take him. And Inter, of course, don't want to let a massive player go to a rival. Would want to maybe up their offer for Lukaku at this point to bring him in. I know there's a lot of moving pieces. There's still the Dzeko carousel with Dzeko, with Lukaku, with Icardi. You know, obviously Dybala in the mix now. There's so many moving pieces there that, you know, but I think in the end, if United sell Lukaku, and especially to Inter, that Inter's going to have to cough up a lot more money. So do you see Romelu Lukaku moving, whether it be to Juve, to Inter, to another side, anybody? Do you see him moving at all?
It depends on who comes in. I mean, who's going to come in at that striker? Then, you know, is Marcus Rashford going to be jumping in as that main striker for Manchester United? We don't know. So, no, I won't say that either. But I think he stays as well.
Okay, all right. I think so too. Again, I think there are too many moving pieces in that scenario. Do you know what I mean? Where there's
yeah, it's just so much has to happen for this for one thing to happen.
Exactly,
it's difficult.
And I think the pieces like Eden Dzeko, I think, could move without Lukaku moving. You know, I think Dzeko could to Inter could be the subsequent move if they can't get Lukaku. So I think there's still pieces that can move. I think there's still pieces that can move to Inter, and they've looked pretty darn good. But I think right now I think the Lukaku part of the equation, and I got to be honest with you, Rob. The Icardi part of the equation, I think right now, is completely on hold because it's too many moving pieces. I mean, do you feel the same way about Icardi?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
I think so. I think so as well. Let's talk about the last one, Rob. And this one, as far as I know, is a done deal. And it's a great move as well. It's Nicolas Pepe to Arsenal. I want to say this is all but done and dusted, where Nicolas Pepe is going to be moving to Arsenal from Lille. You know, he scored 22 goals in Ligue 1 last season for Lille. Lille, I feel bad because this is kind of a dismantling. There's the other player, and I can't think of the name now. He's a striker. He was at Sporting, went to Lille for one season. I think it's Leao. And now he's possibly going to be moving on as well. It's a dismantling of a team that played so well in Ligue 1 and challenged for the title, got themselves into the Champions League. Now we're losing pieces, and it looks like you know, Nicolas Pepe, which is going to be the biggest piece, is on his way to North London. What do you think about this move?
Well, that's a great move. It's a great move for Arsenal to get a player and kind of, in a way, shock Napoli because you didn't think that Arsenal would have that kind of money to spend on a player like him, but it just shows how ambitious they are to do something with that kind of front three with Lacazette and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Arsenal are going to be a really interesting team to watch this season. I'm really excited for this type of move.
According to reports, and I'm reading this from Goal, the deal is 80 million euros to go for it's an incredible amount of money. And you know, you think back of Arsenal, even just Arsenal of like 5 years ago, right, Rob? And you always think back to Wenger, and you're like, there is no way that money would have moved.
Times are changing, especially on the Emery.
Times are changing. And the ambitions are changing. You know, I mean, I think Arsenal as a football club are starting to realize 6th, 7th, floating in that 5th to 10th range just isn't good enough, and it's not going to keep the cash registers full. So they're going to need to make some moves and climb their way because all the other teams around them are getting better and they're working hard to get better. So I think it was a necessary move, and it probably should reinvigorate the Arsenal fan club just to say, hey, you know, we are spending on young, good, proven talent, and we want to make this team better. I mean, we look at Lucas Torreira, we look at now Nicolas Pepe, big moves, and I think Arsenal might make a little more noise coming into this EPL season, especially with Aubameyang, with Lacazette. Now you add Pepe, you've got some good attacking pieces there. I think the loss of Ramsey is going to not be the greatest thing for them, but at the same time, I think they've done enough to improve the club in general. So
for sure.
So Rob, I know we have some matches to watch this week, and in fact, of the matches to watch this week, none of them are from any of the leagues we've talked about. But if you would do the honors for match of the week, and we'll go back to the trivia question.
Definitely. So heading into this week we have Copa Libertadores round of 16 matches. Very interesting matches to look out for. Let's start with Tuesday. We have Cruzeiro taking on River Plate at 6:15 p.m. It's a nil-nil draw in this one, played at in Belo Horizonte, and for me, that's a big one right there, because River Plate kind of blew it, if you remember, in the first leg, where Matias Suarez missed a last-second penalty that could have easily won the game, probably decided the series in a different fashion. But now all guns blazing here in Belo Horizonte for this one, so very interesting. Olimpia hosting Liga de Quito, already saying it's going to be a sold-out crowd at the Defensores del Chaco. Needs to reverse a 3-1 aggregate score to qualify to the round of 16. Wednesday, we have Cerro Porteño also taking on San Lorenzo at home in Paraguay. This one also ended in a nil-nil draw aggregate. And Cerro are looking to kind of get the result that they need to qualify to the next round. Boca Juniors, you know, who got off to a win in the last few seconds of the game over there in Curitiba, will take on Atlético Paranaense. They'll be playing at the Bombonera. Daniel De Rossi will not be on this team, as many people really would want him to play, but he will not be playing in Cusa reports here in Argentina. And on Thursday, we have Libertad taking on Gremio at 8:30. Libertad have to reverse a 2-0 aggregate deficit at home against a talented Gremio side still led by Everton Cebolinha, who is still on the team apparently. And in Saturday we have, and this weekend we have MLS action. We have Atlanta United taking on the hot LA Galaxy at 5 p.m. We have the New England Revolution taking on LAFC. And on Sunday we have DC United taking on the Philadelphia Union at 7:30 p.m.
Looking forward to a big week of football. And obviously transfers are going to be winding down. The window closes August 8th for England. And then we'll see how these teams start to shape up as they start to kick off the European season. So Rob, do you want to give us the trivia question again?
Yep. Just a quick question here in the trivia. So I just want you, Joe, to give me the six teams with the stadium of the highest capacity in their respective leagues.
All right. So I think I'm going to go with the easy one first. For me, it's easy. I'm going to go to Serie A.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you the San Siro.
The San Siro of Inter Milan holds 80,018 and is the highest capacity in Italy.
Okay. I'm going to go to La Liga.
Okay.
And I believe it is the Nou Camp.
It is the Nou Camp with 99,000 as their capacity.
Okay. I'm going to go to England.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you Manchester United.
Old Trafford with 74,879 people as a capacity.
Okay. I'm assuming that's correct.
Yes.
So for the fourth thing where I asked you for the extra credit, I'm going to give you that the Bundesliga has two stadiums that are equal to capacity.
No, you already got the two teams. Oh. The tie was in terms of...
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. There you go. All right, so let's go back to the Bundesliga anyway. And let's give you Bayern Munich, but I don't like my pick. Actually, I'm going to hold off. I'm actually going to change my pick.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say Bayern Munich. I'm actually going to say Hertha Berlin.
And you're wrong on both cases.
Ah!
Second and third, respectively.
It's not the Yellow Wall. It's not Signal Iduna, is it?
Signal Iduna Park with 81,000 people.
Wow.
Bayern and Hertha have 75 and 74,000 respectively.
Okay. And then the last one is going to be Ligue 1. And I mean, I'm gonna go with the chalk and just say PSG, but I have a feeling it's wrong. Parc des Princes.
They're in fourth place. Yeah. With 48.
Marseille
with 67,000. They have the highest capacity.
I knew it. I wanted to say Marseille, and I'm like, yeah, it just doesn't feel right. So, all right, so it's Marseille.
Yep. So Marseille in France, Italy, you have Inter and AC Milan. Germany, you have Borussia Dortmund. England, you have Manchester United. And at Spain, you have FC Barcelona.
Great question. So, without any further ado, Rob, let's kick off the closing music and wrap up episode 249 here. As long as my computer will cooperate, which it hasn't been cooperating with me lately. So, but here it goes. So, there we go, the familiar tone. So, for episode 249, special thanks again to Ben Hayward for joining us to break down La Liga. Next week, we have Jack Grimsey joining us to break down the Bundesliga as they get set to kick off 2019-2020. We should have more information coming up next week as to where you might be able to find us live and another association that will be joining. So, for episode 249 of Low Limit Football, I am Joe Uccello.
I'm Roberto Rojas.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to our last live podcast on this server, and good night.